You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we can...
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Michael Maloff, and we're going to be talking about his book, A Nation Forsaken. Now, this is probably one of the most important subjects that I know of. And as you know, we talk about all sorts of important subjects, but I really believe that this is vitally important. It's important because it's a very real threat to the very survival of industrial civilization. It's a very real threat to the survival of the United States. Many people in Washington, D.C. know exactly the things we're talking about, and yet the average American has little, if any, understanding of the very real threat that we face today. And we have, in, as far as I know, no protection against that. Now, basically, of course, we're talking about the threat of an EMP attack. Our guest this evening spent 30 years with the Defense Department. For many years, he was a senior advisor reporting directly to our policy advisor, reporting directly to the Undersecretary of Defense. At the present time, he is retired. He's working for our good friend Joseph Farah as a reporter for the WorldNet Daily. But his book is must reading. We're going to be carrying the book, A Nation Forsaken. Well, Michael, thank you very much for being with us this evening.
Well, thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
And we had Michael again on our afternoon program, but of course, this is an entirely different audience, so I don't hesitate at all to repeat some of the things you said before. Mm-hmm. Why don't you pick up the story? Why, certainly, is there a threat from an EMP attack, and why is nothing being done to protect the lives of the American people? Because certainly it's been said that if this should occur within 6 months to a year, we could lose 90% of our population. You pick up the story.
Well, an electromagnetic pulse is something that's just, which has been very much overlooked by the federal government, even though it's been known about for quite a number of years. An electromagnetic pulse is basically a high-intensity burst of electromagnetic energy, and this is caused by a very rapid acceleration of charged particles that can be so supercharged that they can knock out or completely fry any of our unprotected electronics or electrical systems. Now, the problem is that the United States is very technology-based as a society, highly dependent on electric power, electronics, telecommunications, our information networks, an extensive set of financial and transportation systems. And the even though that these are have made us a great industrial power, world power, that it could also be our Achilles heel in the event of a electromagnetic pulse event, whether it's natural or man-made. And
well, basically what you're saying is that we could lose our industrial development position in the world simply, really almost overnight, if one of these things were to occur, because it would wipe out our entire electronic grid. Would that be a fair assessment?
It could. It could knock out pretty much of it, depending upon how it was hit and how we were hit. And I'm afraid that it would have a catastrophic event for many, many years, because we are largely unprotected and have not gone through that, gone to the trouble of protecting ourselves.
But it wouldn't be that much trouble. I mean, after all, Congress had appropriated, at least the House of Representatives had appropriated the funds a number of years ago. And the amazing thing is, nothing has happened. We'll be back with this amazing story.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
You may have heard about the 90 essential nutrients or the Mighty 90 needed for good health. But with all the products out there, what exactly are they talking about? The Mighty 90 is 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 60 plant-derived minerals, and 2 essential fatty acids. So, now you know. But with all the products you see and hear advertised, what exactly do you buy to come up with the Mighty 90 and the right ratios to promote good health? Youngevity has made it easy with the Healthy Start Pack, which contains one canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Vitamin and Plant-Derived Mineral Complex, one bottle of Bone and Joint Enriching OsteoFX Plus, and one bottle of EFA Plus Essential Fatty Acids, all in the proper ratios to promote good health and vitality. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Chris, what we were talking about is certainly either a solar flare, a massive solar flare from the sun, which would have a devastating effect and simply wipe out a good part of our electronic grid and our communications, electronic communications, or certainly an attack, an electromagnetic pulse attack, which would come from exploding bombs up in the stratosphere a couple hundred miles above our country, and three or four or five well-placed nuclear explosions occurring simultaneously would simply push America back to the 100 years, to the pre-industrial situation before we had widespread use of electronics in America. And certainly what Michael is saying is that both Russia and China are making preparations to protect their populations, because we're talking about devastating loss of human life. We're talking about suddenly tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions, of people perishing. And Russia and China are preparing and making preparations to protect their population, and yet nothing is being done in the United States. And, Michael, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, I would agree. I think it's because we're lulled into complacency. Those countries, as you well know, have experienced war on their soil. And the United States has not, at least in our lifetime. And they are keenly aware of what the impact would be. They still have national defense shelters, and we don't. We got rid of ours long ago. But I think that those shelters really are essential because for the storage of food, storage of water, because those basic essentials, the delivery of those basic essentials, would be affected as some of the critical infrastructures of our country could be absolutely devastated by an EMP event.
Well, could you explain to our listeners what the EMP would do? How would it affect the grid? How would it affect communications as far as phones, cell phones? How would it affect transportation? How would it affect the availability of food and water and the other things which are so essential to the existence of the civilization we live in?
Well, the underlying basis of all of our critical infrastructures is the electrical grid. Our telecommunications, our banking and finance systems, our petroleum and natural gas, our transportation, food and water delivery, everything, including emergency services and our space system, all of these have been identified by experts as our critical infrastructures that make up our modern society. And they are all interrelated. They are interconnected. And if one of these critical infrastructures goes down, such as the grid, it affects all of them. There would be a cascading effect. And the concern is that they because of that interrelationship and our high dependency on it, it would have that impact on us. For example, we rely on the grid for everything. That grid goes down, nothing else is going to work. Our telecommunications won't work. Our banking and finance, and also underlying all this are automated control systems. They're all automated, and they all work on transistors, but they all still rely on that grid system. And the grid system is highly vulnerable. Because it's older, it's antiquated, it's just been jerry-rigged, more and more demands have been put on it as we've become more electronically sophisticated, and we have not really gone to the trouble of upgrading it, hardening it, and making sure that it can be protected from an event such as a solar flare or, heaven forbid, a nuclear blast at a higher altitude.
Well, now, basically, of course, what would happen is the transformers would burn out. What about the generators? What about certainly the other electronic devices that are there that certainly are vital to its function? Certainly, would the transformers be burnt out? And what would happen if the transformers were burnt out all across America?
Well, the larger transformers these transformers are what relay the electricity from one end of the country to the other. Some of these are massive, very large. There are smaller ones that bring it down to large tens of hundreds of thousands of volts down to the volts just that go into the household. Some smaller transformers are made in the United States, but your larger ones, you're much more the ones that really convey this electricity across the country are no longer made in the United States.
Used to be made in the United States. Now they're made in China. Is that the case?
Yeah, they're made in China, and I believe there's some made by a German company.
My understanding is basically, of course, that China is actually laying in some of these transformers. They want those available if there is a problem, and we're not doing what's logical to protect our grid, which, of course, as we've said before, just doesn't make sense. So basically, how much of the grid could go down in case of, say, a couple of well-placed explosions on the East Coast, the West Coast, and then, of course, over the central part of our country?
I would say that a large part could, depending upon how they were placed. If a 1 megaton bomb were exploded over Kansas, it could affect pretty much almost coast to coast. it would be that devastated because of that pulse. And that pulse from a high altitude bomb is considered to be the most intense. It's even more intense than a lightning strike or even from the flares. But it encompasses the impact that you would have from a solar flare or from a lightning strike because it is just so overwhelming.
But in your book, you talk about the fact that many of the other countries in the world are actually planning on how they would carry out an EMP attack, not only to defend themselves, but how they would carry out an EMP attack on America. And you mentioned China and Russia and Iran and North Korea and Venezuela and Pakistan. But all of these are at least considered. What about India? I think, as I recall, you mentioned India. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that all of these countries have been considering at least the possibility of how they would launch an EMP attack on another nation, presumably or possibly America. Is that really true?
Yes. They have developed that capability, and depending upon the politics in the world at any given moment, anybody could, any country with a delivery system and a missile could do something like that. Also, you have the prospect of proxies, terrorist proxies, from state sponsors of terrorism.
We wouldn't even necessarily know who set off this, that they came off of a tramp freighter or something on the East Coast, and certainly those freighters could be immediately sunk. We would have no idea who launched the attack at us, and yet, of course, it would devastate America. And right now, I mean, you're reading this in articles as today, where, now I don't know whether there's any truth to it or not, but the United States and Israel were planning on launching an attack on Iran to wipe out their nuclear facilities. I mean, if we were to do something like that, would there be any reason why Japan, why Iran, would not retaliate against America? And apparently, don't they actually have sophisticated missiles? Haven't they actually practiced this in the Crimea, certainly in the Caspian Sea or elsewhere, setting off these sophisticated, at least their satellites getting up into the high stratosphere as they would need to attack America?
Yes, they have. There's information to that effect that they've actually launched successfully a missile from the deck of a ship. That requires a certain type of technology to do that.
And they've actually done that. And of course,
yes, they have.
Do you back in 1993, when I was first getting started doing our program, I actually talked to a young man who was the science advisor for the Republicans, Congress, members of the House of Representatives. And he told me at that time on one of our programs that at that time, this was 1993, probably 1994, that Iran had a couple of nuclear bombs that actually bought on the open market. Are you in a position to comment on that?
I don't believe that they have the bombs themselves. They did get plans to miniaturize a nuclear weapon. They got it from Pakistan. And the concern is, of course, that they're entering into a nuclear development program that could easily turn into a nuclear weapon development program. The same for North Korea. North Korea is probably further along than Iran is, and they too had received similar plans to make Yukon out of Pakistan.
But certainly Pakistan has the weapons. Would Pakistan possibly be willing to sell a weapon to Iran? After all, we're going into Pakistan now. We're sending our drones in. We're killing Pakistan's civilians. I don't know how many hundreds of Pakistani civilians we've killed over there with our drones. I don't think we're getting any friends over there in Pakistan. Are you concerned about the drone attacks in the name of killing terrorists that end up killing innocent civilians? And certainly, is there a possibility of a blowback to what we're doing, slaughtering people in Pakistan?
Well, I think the blowback is very real. They have resented us in doing that, and they are, they have some 32 transnational terrorist groups, and I'm very concerned about that effect, that they could do some form of retaliation.
But they actually have nuclear weapons. They wouldn't they wouldn't have to use them. They'd let somebody else use them. It's pretty pretty hard to actually track a nuclear weapon when it, I'm sure we were doing everything we can to track them. Well, our guest is Michael Maloff, and we're talking about this very real threat of an EMP attack on America. And some people say it's not a matter of if, but when. Is there any truth to that sort of an analysis?
Oh, yeah. It's whether it's an attack from a nuclear weapon or particularly from the sun. I think the sun is certainly...
Hold that thought.
Okay.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it. Taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging. Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now 1-866-405-4000. 405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Am I pronouncing your last name correctly?
It's Maloof.
Maloof, Michael Maloof. Well, basically, of course, Michael was just saying that in case of an EMP attack, the biggest problem would be that as far as anything electronic, we wouldn't be able to get certainly our fuel out of the fuel tanks and pump it out electronically. We wouldn't be able to certainly to have our water in many of our cities. We wouldn't have delivery systems. Certainly the whole availability of food in the major cities would begin to break down. Now, we don't know whether the trucks would run. Some of them would, maybe some of them wouldn't, but you have to get fuel for them. And the whole system of delivery of fuel, delivery of food, delivery of the essentials of life in the major populated areas would simply become chaotic. But ordinarily, of course, you see this with a storm. The storm leaves, and then, of course, we can begin to replenish the food supplies. But how long would it take to begin to replenish the supplies after an EMP attack?
Well, that's the concern. It would, if NASA is saying just from a direct solar flare hit, it could cost the country upwards of $2 trillion the first year. It would affect more than 130 million lives, and it would take anywhere from 4 to 10 years to recover. And that's pretty devastating.
Well, of course, we'd have to get the generators then from China, from communist China.
Well, again, if we had a direct, if Earth had a direct hit from a solar flare, I think all countries would be affected. We would be just standing in line like anybody else. It would alter, certainly alter this country's way of life and its ability to function as it used to know it.
Well, now, how would the military function, though? Would the military be able to maintain its control throughout so much of the world? And certainly, would the military certainly be able to continue functioning here in the United States and protect us?
Well, the military relies 99% on our national grid system, and there's some very strong concerns about that. This is what I point out in the book that. The Department of Homeland Security does not regard EMP as one of its 15 national planning scenarios, which kick into effect should there be any catastrophic event.
But shouldn't they consider that? Certainly, Congress certainly thought it was very much of a problem. And I've read the 2004 Congressional Commission report. In fact, we offer that to our ministry. If you can't pull it down off the internet, I think it's vitally important to read these Congressional Commission reports and see what they found when they studied these things. Totally blacked out by the media, hardly any mention at all. So the average individual in America has very little understanding. The people in Russia and China know, because of course they're making preparations, and we're not making any preparations. And I've said before, it doesn't make sense. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Well, certainly, what did Congress do? They had a 2004 commission. They had a 2008 commission. Congress has had legislation before them on several occasions. On one occasion, didn't they vote, actually, to actually make preparations to protect the American people from the devastation that would result from an EMP attack?
Well, there have been numerous. The Shield Act has been introduced in the past two Congresses, I believe, and it's failed both times. It never got through the committee, the full Energy Committee. There was never any comparable bill introduced in the Senate, even though you had certain individuals really pressing hard for it. Now, my understanding is going to be reintroduced again by Congressman Trent Frank of Arizona.
But now, at one time, didn't both didn't Congress vote to do something, and then it never got the Senate, didn't get through the Senate, but didn't at one time the House of Representatives vote to do something?
Well, they voted to at least have a commission to study the issue, and that's about as far as it went. And they've held some congressional hearings, but that's as far as it's gone. And you've had principal agencies like Department of Defense, Department of Energy, Department of Homeland Security, testifying that they're very aware of what the impact of an EMP is, but really cannot tell Congress what they could or would do in the event of such an attack. And unfortunately, the Department of Defense cannot order the Department of Homeland Security to harden to direct them to harden the sites, harden the electrical grid upon which they depend, about 99%. And that's a real serious breakdown right there.
And basically what you're basically saying is basically the American military in the United States is 99%. It's certainly dependent upon the transportation and communications networks here that would be wiped out should an EMP attack occur. Would that be a fair statement?
Yes, it would be. It would be dramatically affected.
Hold that thought. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-2295.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden, all heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
So you finally decided to start taking a vitamin supplement. Those chewables and tablets are fine if you don't mind paying for something that is only absorbed about 4 to 6%. However, a liquid supplement can have a 90% absorption rate if you choose the right one. Youngevity offers a wide variety of liquid supplements with a 90% absorption rate or more. Beyond Tangy Tangerine may be the best one ever invented. It starts as a liquid, then is freeze-dried like those instant coffees into a crystal. Then all you have to do is add a couple of scoops to water. No refrigeration, no fuss, no mess. Not only do you get a complete multiple vitamin, Beyond Tangy Tangerine also has minerals, and it tastes fantastic. You'll want to drink it all day long. So the next time you reach for a vitamin supplement, reach for Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest Michael Maloof. We're talking about his book. It's called A Nation Forsaken, and basically, of course, Mr. Maloof has been with the Defense Department for some 30 years. He's retired now. He's doing everything he can to get people to recognize this is a problem. And I remember one of the quotations in your book, I think I could be mistaken, but there was an admiral or a general who actually testified before one of the commissions and said it's not a matter of when we have or if we're going to have an EMP attack, it's when it's going to occur.
Correct.
Is that,
yeah.
Who was that who made that statement?
That was General Schweitzer. He's now deceased. But this shows you that his congressional testimony went back to the late 90s, and he was warning about it then, especially with the including radio frequency weapons, all of which emit a radio magnetic energy. And he warned about this, and the committees were very, very aware of it back in the late 90s. And I think his testimony was in 1998. So it's not unknown to the Congress.
Well, I know that I've talked to a half a dozen people from Washington, D.C., who are certainly seem to be very knowledgeable, and they seem to be frightened to death. I know one of a very good friend of mine who lives in Washington, D.C., has held key positions in government, and basically he has a refuge for himself and his family, certainly in one of the Carolinas, North Carolina, because he is really concerned that this is a very real threat, and certainly people living in the densely populated areas, there would be total chaos if this were to happen and the grid was to go down and communications were to go down and food and water were going to go down. What are your thoughts?
I would agree with that. I would underscore that concern. And we've seen what the impact has been for a few hours, a few day blackout up in the New York, in the Northeast area, and especially in New York City. The place just goes totally dark, and it happened here just a few years ago, and by an incident that occurred in Ohio, I believe it was, and they had to do their investigation and trace it, but that whole area was just completely knocked out. People were walking across the bridges; they weren't driving because there was no ability to move vehicles or anything of the sort. Now, they were not paralyzed, but all the traffic lights went out. All the lights went out, and people really had a very difficult time getting about. And of course, then there would be sheer panic to pick up food and other provisions for basic survival purposes.
And we're not talking about suddenly this happening for a few days or even a week. We're talking about this taking years to actually suddenly repair the damage that was done, because we do not have the transformers here. And basically, of course, the whole structure of society would break down. At least this is what the congressional commissions say, and you need to read those reports, ladies and gentlemen. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. If you have a question or comment for our guest, Michael Maloof, why give us a call. We are going to carry his book. It's called A Nation Forsaken. We have a talk actually given by our good friend, Ambassador Henry Cooper, former American representative to the disarmament negotiations with the Soviets. And this is a talk he gave here in October of last year on the threat of an EMP attack. It's a vitally important EMP. We're actually carrying the 2004 Congressional Commission report. It's about 95 pages. You can get it on the internet, but if you don't want to, we actually have taken it. We've printed and bound it. We think it's important. You need to know what the experts are saying, because you're never going to read about it in what I refer to as the controlled media. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And I'm talking about the end of America as we know it, at least for a decade, up to a decade. Well, before we go on, Michael, do you have a website, any site people should be going to get additional information on this story?
Well, the book itself, well, we do carry numerous stories on this issue on on WND.com. We have, and of course, the book is available through Amazon.com and through WND.com. And I understand it's getting into bookstores now. It just came out January the 3rd. But on the WND website, we are carrying periodic stories on this issue, and trying to keep people updated on what is going on with the sun and the flares that are occurring. This latest sunspot that has come around, facing Earth more and more now, is considered to be so large. It's said to be the diameter of 14 Earths, and that's the length of it, and that's on the sun right now. And that thing is spewing out these flares, and if we're getting more and more in alignment with Earth, then I think that's what NASA is really very concerned about.
All right, fine. Well, because we have no way of knowing when that would be a major one. But when suddenly are these, this basically, there'd be a massive EMP wave come and hit the Earth. Is this what you're suggesting?
It could. And again, NASA's warning about it, and the way these flares are ripping off the sun's surface. They go on out into space, but the likelihood of us being in direct alignment now is becoming greater now that we're positioned, the Earth is now positioned more straight on, if you will, with this one major sunspot that's emitting these flares.
Well, now, what would you tell? We have an audience of thousands of people all across America listening to this program. What should they do? Should they simply get a book? Should they read it? Should they talk about it? Should they begin making preparations? What they would do if they're living in the major cities and thinking about how they would get out of the cities if they're not living in the major city? But if suddenly they would certainly want to think about survival, because, of course, before long there would be no food in the stores. What do you tell people to do to make preparations for what you feel and what I feel is a very real problem?
Well, in the book, I go into that into some depth on what people can do individually for their families, and also what can be done at the local level, because I think you can basically dismiss any direct action from the federal government in any near-term basis. And they have not prepared the nation, as we have seen, just in trying to meet natural disasters and making sure that food and deliveries of food and water are available. And that assumes, and these were done without an EMP, but when they were where they could bring things from other parts of the country. But if we have a direct EMP impact, everybody would be affected. There would be no way that one part of the country could escape this without having an impact on the other. And the availability of food and water is going to be very, very critical. And it would be, and also the delivery of those systems. Now, you can just forget about money, because banking systems all have electronic means of determining your accounts, and your ability to get the money would be no longer available because of control systems, and the electronics would not be functioning. Unless the industries harden their facilities, all these electronics are going to be able to go down because of this tremendous pulse that could result from the sun or from a flare, from a high altitude nuclear explosion, and we're not prepared for it.
Well, what about the military overseas? Are they prepared for this? Do they have alternative means to protect our ships and protect our forces in other countries?
Well, some of the ships and our aircraft are getting more radiation-hardened chips in their electronics. But the bases are not there. We have over a dozen, maybe two dozen bases just in the European Middle Eastern area region, and they're not protected. So if India or Pakistan got into it, there's going to be a residual effect, especially if they start using nuclear weapons, and there's going to be an impact. A pulse from any nuclear explosion is going to be felt in the vicinity, and I know the Israelis have discussed this as a potential approach toward dealing with Iran. It would knock out much of the electrical grid and electricity from the Middle East into Europe. And even though the Israelis claim that they can be back online within 3 days, so it would affect any of our bases there, because we're not making the same preparations for our facilities.
What you're saying is that Israel is preparing so that they would be able to take care of this, and America is not preparing, and we would not be able to be back up in line. Is that in essence what you're suggesting?
Yeah. That's precisely it. We're because we're so removed from all the other countries, we probably feel that we would not be affected, but we could be affected. Certainly our bases overseas would be affected. And if we had a direct flare hit, everybody's going to be affected. The whole earth could be affected, and other countries would be less affected than others because of their reliance on the grid system. The United States is probably the one country that has the greatest reliance and on the grid, on its electrical grid system, but it also constitutes its greatest vulnerability.
Well, basically, it was certainly what this would has the potential to destroy industrialized civilization, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, as we know it right now. It would set us way back if at least a generation.
It would set us way back for a generation. That's a frightening thought.
No, I think it would take a generation to recover, at least a generation to recover. And it actually would send us back to the 19th century. That's what I meant.
Well, the telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 if you have a question or comment. But I think this is a vitally important subject, and this is a fascinating, fascinating book. And that's why we're going to carry it. We think everybody needs to read this and get the information out as far and wide as you can. Certainly your book's only been available now for just a few weeks. We got one of the first copies of it, I think, and we're so pleased that Joseph Farah, WorldNet Daily, is putting information out. Incidentally, if you're out there in the listening audience, you need to read WorldNet Daily on a regular basis. Joseph Farah certainly is one of the most courageous publishers, certainly editors in the country. He's a personal friend. He's put out thousands and thousands of copies of my book through his organization. We appreciate that. But he is well aware of this very, very real danger. But the problem is nobody's talking about it other than the WorldNet Daily. I have rarely see any mention of this in the regular media or certainly through regular radio and television programs. What sort of response are you getting? I know you're probably trying to get on radio programs and getting your information out. Are you having pretty good success?
Well, yeah, I've had quite a number of interviews. but the regular media will maybe talk about a solar flare event, but they don't give what the implication of that is going to be. They don't talk about the impact. They talk about how beautiful the aurora borealis are, but they don't go into this problem of what would happen if we had a direct impact from a solar flare, and that's where they're remiss. And I think part of the problem is that the regular media has become duped by some of the propaganda of the more liberal types that feel, oh, if you're talking about EMP, you really that's really masquerading for an approach of wanting to create more of an anti-ballistic missile system. Well, you know, that's part of it. You need that, and we're not prepared. But it's not. But EMP by itself has its own issues. It's an apolitical issue. It's not. It transcends politics, particularly because of its of the impact it would have on lives. And I mean, there have been episodes when in the past, back in 1989 in Quebec, for example, where it knocked out the hydroelectric plant, where a solar flare knocked out the hydroelectric plant, and it affected 6 million people for weeks. And it could have cascaded on down into the entire U.S. East Coast if it weren't for some capacitors in Allegheny, an Allegheny power station that stopped that pulse.
And I think people have to understand how the grid works. Could you sort of explain it to them? Isn't the grid pretty interconnected all over the country? And basically, certainly if you had one of these things that happened, they say in the Northeast, it could affect certainly the southern part of the United States?
Oh, sure. There have been instances where a squirrel got fried on a line and it knocked out some power I think it occurred in Ohio, and knocked out the power grid in the Northeast for a time. And that was just by one little episode.
But this thing is that this should be fairly easy to repair, so they should be able to take care of that if it was just a localized area. But if it suddenly would destroy a number of these major transformers, and how many are there? Something like 2,000 of these major transformers in the country?
Yeah, probably less than that in terms of the larger ones. But you have over 2,000 of the smaller ones. They would certainly be affected. The larger ones would be, as NASA says, some 350 of them could be knocked out, and it would take years to replace those. Years, and because of they have to be specially designed for that particular area, and it takes 3 years in the good period for delivery of them once you put the order in. And so they don't keep them in stock. They don't keep spares of the big ones in stock.
And, of course, we'd have to get them from Communist China. Nobody ever refers to it as Communist China today. We're not supposed to. That's not politically correct. But I like to refer to it as Communist China. And basically, of course, but certainly this was an EMP attack, why they'd be having to save the Transformers for their own country. Wouldn't that be a fair estimate, analysis?
Oh, sure, they would. They've been making for their own country. But again, in the more rural areas of China, they don't have that great dependency. In the cities, they would, yeah.
But you are very, very concerned that this is a very real threat. And certainly after 30 years in the Defense Department, you should have a pretty good analysis or understanding what's going on.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I feel that this, for the United States, it would be a catastrophic. And that's what the book basically says.
And basically, I agree with that, ladies and gentlemen. The book is A Nation Forsaken. You can get it from Radio Liberty. We'll be back in a moment right here at Radio Liberty.
You already know that calcium is important. But did you know that calcium cannot be absorbed without magnesium? That's a fact. And the calcium that isn't absorbed calcifies your soft muscle tissues. Haven't you ever wondered what's really causing all your muscle aches? I'm Pat Sullivan, the founder of Jigsaw Health. I created Jigsaw Magnesium with SRT to solve my own magnesium deficiency problems. You see, magnesium helps people feel younger because magnesium keeps the soft tissues from calcifying. This helps you sleep better at night and feel more energized during the day. Call 888-352-5050. And we'll explain why Jigsaw Magnesium with sustained-release technology is so much better than any drugstore magnesium supplement. Mention this radio ad and receive $5 off your order. 888-352-5050. JigsawMagnesium.com.
What has happened to the judicial system in these United States? From the Supreme Court to the smallest county seat, we've seen the judiciary make decisions which are more legislative than interpretive. The judicial system was designed to ensure that the laws of the land were just and constrained by our Constitution. Now judges have immunity and cannot be prosecuted when they act outside the law. This must stop. The judicial branch needs reform. We must pass laws which bring a renewed sense of justice to our nation's court system. I urge you to go to judicialreformnow.com. That's judicialreformnow.com. At that website, you can find out what's really going on in this area of lawlessness, and more importantly, you can find out what you can do to stem the tide of judicial malpractice. JudicialReformNow.com. JudicialReformNow.com.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Our guest has been Michael Malouf. I hope you enjoyed the program, ladies and gentlemen. This is a vitally important program. Michael, good night and God bless.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Okay, fine. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I really am very, very concerned about this. I wouldn't have had Michael on, and certainly we would not be carrying his book if we didn't think it was vitally important, the book.
It was our first
A Nation date, Forsaken.
And
we have a DVD
and so
with Ambassador
there,
Henry
and
Cooper. It's called
pretty,
The Threat
so
of an EMP Attack.
Oh,
we're actually offering
it
at the present time.
Oh, but there was a stain over my heart.
The 2004 Congressional
like
Commission Report.
Was, my
we've put it together a nice binding you can get it on the internet.
That's
about 100 pages, or you can get it from us. Now give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. You need to get this, you need to read this, you need to start making your preparations, and you need to start talking about this. Because, of course, basically this evening I was reading Glenn Beck's book. And then Agenda 21. Excellent. We're going to be carrying that book as well. But basically, at one
happy
point,
flight.
He quoted
a, happy
a man named Maurice Strong,
Watch,
a multi-billionaire, a part of this whole effort to
yeah,
the
was,
world
TV's
cult
on a plane.
Movement. Mr. Strong
the,
is deeply involved
AFC
in the occult, but basically, many years ago, he
like
was
that.
Talking to a reporter, and he made the statement
your joy
that the
a,
Earth would not survive
as a brother with your
unless there was a
determination
complete
as a
collapse of industrialized civilization.
Well, I think,
his wording was the only way
it's
to
a blessing and a curse.
Is to collapse industrialized
you know,
civilization.
Blessing because
the only way to
is,
save the Earth is to collapse industrialized civilization.
And
who
also,
in their right mind would want to destroy,
for the Ravens,
collapse industrialized civilization?
Great respect for their
one
organization.
One of these people deeply involved in the occult. Basically,
Azenusa,
this is what people don't want
and,
to talk about.
Art Modell,
and you're never going to hear
this
sort of thing discussed on regular
league.
Radio. This is why you need to get my book.
No, many of the Baltimore Ravens players
and
have they, great respect for,
let it or
for them
it
and their team.
If you're in a
and,
position to buy a case of the book,
happy for them.
Of course, we want to get it reprinted.
Happy for us.
We're about a quarter of the way towards having enough people so that we can get
you know, the
book. The
curse part
you get a case of the books at $64
that,
for $150.
You know,
plus, we throw in a free DVD
you know, two brothers playing in the Super Bowl
to help you defray the postage.
And what that
but
takes away from
basically, you can
know,
give
the
books away, you can
game.
Sell the books, you
and,
can lend the books. But it will
you know, every,
touch people's
every moment
lives.
That you're talking about.
And if you're in a position, of
myself
course,
or John,
to get a case of books,
that's
what
less,
please do.
Less time
and
that the
players
are going to be talking about.
To support Radio Liberty,
just feel like,
we appreciate hearing from you. And if you're
saying
not,
that Victor
and we
knows
understand
no
many people
or,
are having real
Victor
financial problems
fathers.
Today, then we simply ask you to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty,
true.
For our provision and
I just feel like the fighters
so
are first.
So let me once
you know,
again
the
remind you the
game,
book,
the players,
you need to get it,
you know, the,
A Nation Forsaken, the DVD,
and,
The Threat of an EMP Attack. The Congressional
Jim,
Report in 2004.
A very unusual situation. And you've been around. I mean, you can see, and it's going
all
to be huge
by
when you get there next week. That's what everybody's going to talk about. The
not
only thing, but so much of it, because it is so
Agenda 21. The covert plan.
Yes,
yes
that's
covert
definitely a possibility. Just,
then we have another agenda 21. It's a talk given
personally,
by Michael Shaw. And they're both
that,
available by calling
because,
our 800 number.
You know, I
and then, of course,
choose
we do
to take the approach
many of you
that,
out there.
You know,
we'll get my talk
is,
on population control.
Team, we have to do what's
the covert agenda. Why?
Because
they want to kill
game.
Off most of the people
and,
on the earth.
You know,
and you say that's crazy.
Is always
well,
that.
If you haven't read my
it's
population control agenda
game.
Monograph, it's up on the internet.
You know, the
population
the
control
playing,
agenda. Type it in
you know, is,
and read it.
Is the opponent. We have to prepare.
If population
the
control
is,
agenda, you can put my name there. You'll get it for sure. But what, you can read it or if you want to get any of the other things we're offering, just ask for a pre-copy of the population control agenda. And copy it and get it out. They really intend to kill billions of people. They have already killed somewhere
as
in the neighborhood
as few as possible.
Of 3
you know,
to
as few
4
as
billion
and,
people.
And about the,
they're killing millions
the
of people every day.
And
they intend to kill off
95%
of the world's remaining population. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927.
No, we haven't spoken.
1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, RadioLiberty.com, where you can hear our radio programs on the internet 24 hours a day. Please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision,
so far,
and our protection.
From what I understand, enjoying their couch.
for their position to watch you guys. Is this different this week, or do you know yet what they're planning?
That's pretty well documented. Talk about that quite a bit. He's a great football coach. It is, you know, it is half. I probably got half the coaching experience he does. You know, half the amount of wins, half the amount of playoff appearances, all those things. So, but again, it's not not about us. Very proud of him.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring, and I have to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Stephen Frank, who certainly writes certainly a blog. He's puts out information regularly. He's been at this battle as long as I have, and Stephen, it's good to have you with us tonight.
Dr. Stan, always glad to be with you.
Oh, well, what are we going to be talking about tonight? What are the things that really are concerning you at this time as far as the attack on American and Christian values?
Well, you know, the most interesting thing that's been going on the last couple of weeks, of course, has been this battle over the Second Amendment and the president's desire to disarm the American public. And a lot of people are looking at this fight over guns as strictly a guns issue. And it really is that, but it's much more than just guns. The president has created 23 different executive orders that marginalize gun ownership and the use of guns here in the United States. And it also has taken a big bite, out of the Second Amendment. And if the president can do this to guns and to the Second Amendment, why can't he do it to freedom of speech, and why can't he do it to freedom of religion?
But Stephen, he's already killing people. He has an assassination list. He's ordered the murder of an American citizen who's never been indicted, who's never been tried, not even indicted, and he had him killed with a drone, and then he killed his son just because he wanted to, you know, just love to kill a little 16-year-old kid. I mean, basically, this is a man who certainly has no moral foundation and is a disgrace to America, but then I don't even think he's an American. I think the last election was rigged. I think that he is using a fraudulent birth certificate. I think he's using a fraudulent draft card. I think he's using a fraudulent Social Security number. In fact, the Supreme Court's going to hear this next month in February, and not a word in the controlled media, because the media, of course, is controlled by the people who put Barack Hussein Obama in office. Barack Hussein Obama, he doesn't like to be called Hussein, but he should be, because it expresses his un-Americanism. Barack Hussein Obama swore yesterday to uphold and defend the Constitution, and he's doing everything he can to destroy the Constitution. If he disagrees with the Second Amendment, then he has a right to lead a move to try to amend the Second Amendment. But Barack Obama doesn't believe in our Constitution, and he's a hypocrite. Anything else? Go ahead.
Well, you know, while we're talking about religion as well, he's also trying to repeal freedom of religion, which is part of the First Amendment to the Constitution. With Obamacare, he is telling Catholic hospitals and fundamentalist hospitals that they have to kill babies.
that they have to be part of the abortion industry, that they have to be part of a contraception industry. And so if you're a business that is run by people of faith who don't believe in the killing of babies, you still have to include it in your health care. If you're a hospital, in order to continue getting federal funds, you have to have the same policies as Planned Parenthood. And this is taking away, repealing, if you will, a portion of the First Amendment, which is the right of freedom of religion. So he's attacking the First Amendment. He's attacking the Second Amendment. And with his National Defense Authority Act, NDAA, he's also taking away the rights of people to trials.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in a moment. Go right ahead.
So with the NDAA program that he has signed into law, he's allowing warrantless searches. He's allowing wiretapping. And he's allowing Americans to be arrested without charges. And so I don't know whether you know it, but there's a court case going on now. I believe it's up in San Francisco, where a lady is on the no-fly list, a secret no-fly list, and she sued the federal government, went to the court, and the federal government refused to tell the judge why the lady is on the no-fly list, the secret one, or that she's even on the list, and he and the judge ruled against the government and ordered her to be allowed to fly since the government couldn't give any reason why she shouldn't. And so every one of our rights, our basic rights of religion, of self-protection, of privacy, of being able to live freely in this country under President Obama has been repealed mostly by executive order or by agency action without permission of Congress. We have over 10 million illegal aliens in this country now who have been regularized, which is their word, because they haven't committed a crime. Therefore, they can stay here. Well, actually, every one of them has committed a crime because they violated our federal immigration laws. They have violated our ID laws using phony IDs, stolen Social Security cards. They hold jobs illegally. They take government welfare illegally. They are criminals every single day of their lives. And the president says, oh, but those aren't crimes. If either of us, Dr. Stan, committed those acts, we'd go to jail. These people are going to get citizenship.
Well, I share your concern, but of course I believe Obama is simply the front for the power elite who put him in power. They did not approve of what he was doing, and the undermining of the importance of American citizenship and the importance of taking away the rights of the American people. I think they'd send Barack on a trip to Dallas. We focus our attention on Barack Hussein Obama, and I certainly find myself doing it as well. But of course I have to constantly remind myself that he would not be the president if he didn't have the total support of the American media, and the media is controlled by what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness. We'll be right back in a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Stephen is simply pointing out that Barack Obama has certainly done everything he could to undermine the First Amendment as far as certainly having to do with religion is concerned, and basically, of course, forcing Catholic and Protestant hospitals to participate in the abortion programs. Certainly, he's taking, certainly they put people onto no-fly lists. They will not even tell them why they're on the no-fly list. They have all sorts of secret files on Americans. They can brand anyone a subversive or a potential terrorist. without ever giving any reason at all. And they literally have tens of thousands of people on these lists. They're spying on everyone across America. They have their cameras in place. Everybody has a number. Everybody has a charge card and all those numbers. Everything you buy is being monitored. They have dossiers. They have FBI dossier, a CIA dossier, a DARPA dossier, an Office of Homeland Security dossier. They're all monitored in the fusion centers. If you don't know what a fusion center is, go up on the internet and look up the fusion centers all across America, where they correlate your dossiers, all the information, and they have massive storehouses where they can put the information they get when they listen to your telephone calls and record your emails and your faxes. They are all recorded, ladies and gentlemen, and they're all suddenly recorded by British intelligence. What is British intelligence doing? Why, very simply, they're recording all of your telephone calls. They're recording all of your emails and faxes. And the NSA, of course, goes over and does that in England so that our NSA officials can go before the courts and say, we are not monitoring the American people. That's just a lie. Well, of course, they're being monitored. They're being monitored by British intelligence. And we're doing the same thing over in England and all throughout Europe. And the American Congress says, well, and as they swore under oath, they're not monitoring us. This is how they worked, Stephen. I know you realize this. Everything is being monitored, watched, files kept, watched with GPS, watched with drones. Everything is monitored in America in preparation for what I fear is a coming dictatorship with the end of freedom as we've known it. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, the president has said to Congress and certified to Congress that the United States government is not holding enemy combatants in places other than Guantanamo Bay, which we all know about. In fact, that too is a lie, because the president, the way he gets around it is by having the Germans, the French, and the Brits, as well as the Turks, have prisons in their country, and these folks are under their watch, even though it's Americans that are interrogating them and controlling whether they stay in prison or not without a trial. And so the United States government is, in fact, lying to the American people and to the world when they're not saying that they're not, in effect, holding people hostage to the terrorists. And the American people, in our name, are holding dozens, if not hundreds, of people around the world in other countries' prisons, and we are telling those countries when these people could be released or if they can be released.
But a lot of these people are being tortured, and this is what's so inhumane. They're being tortured, certainly at the direction of our own government. And where is the outcry of righteous indignation from our religious leaders? Have you heard any minister or religious leader speaking out against torture?
And what's interesting is the far left in this country has allowed Obama to get away with that, even though most of this information comes from their website, their reporters and journalists. And even though the people know about it, those who, if a Republican did it, they'd be yelling and screaming in the streets. Since it's Obama, they're letting him get a by and not having to own up to what he's doing. And that's another part of the hypocrisy of the left, not allowing President Bush to get away with it, nor should he have. But when President Obama says these things are terrible things and he continues to do it, if you remember, he said that if elected president, within 1 year, Guantanamo Bay would be closed. Well, it's now been 4 years, and Guantanamo Bay is still open, and there's no thought ahead of closing Guantanamo Bay.
Say, Stephen, are you on a regular telephone or are you on a speakerphone?
I'm on a speakerphone.
It would be better if you were just on a regular phone.
Okay.
Do you have access to one? Because it's just there's just a little echo there with the
speakerphone.
How's this? Well, go right ahead.
Okay. And so the president is getting away with stuff that President Bush should not have been allowed to get away with. But the left says nothing about Obama. while the left yelled and screamed about Bush keeping Guantanamo Bay open.
But because you remember that the Republicans didn't speak out against George Bush when he was torturing people, and he started the torturing. He started all of this, and so the Republicans went right along with it. Now, of course, it's Obama, the Republicans are critical, and the Democrats are silent. Before, the Democrats were pointing to what was going on, and the Republicans were silent. And I say, they're both hypocritical.
Well, and then you have the president appointing two anti-Israeli politicians to Secretary of State and Secretary of Defense. Both John Kerry and Chuck Hagel have made it clear that they think that the Palestinian terrorists are the moral equivalent of the Israeli people and government. And terrorism is not the equivalent of freedom. But to the world of John Kerry, to the world of Chuck Hagel, it is one and the same. And we can't afford to have our allies, our natural allies, believe that the United States is supportive of terrorism, yet we are. We give billions to Egypt and to the Palestinians, which then gets turned into weapons. And, of course, the new Egyptian government, the old one was overthrown with the help of President Obama. And now we have a Muslim extremist who's in charge of Egypt, even though he did graduate from USC. He is a Muslim extremist.
Mr. Morsi, M-O-R-S-I, go ahead.
Right. Mr. Morsi is a graduate of USC in Southern California. And so
if he isn't CIA, he'll do it when comes along. These people get recruited here in the United States, and we put them into positions of power throughout the world, and they do our bidding. And what is happening in Egypt? Why, they've established a nation under Sharia law, and they're driving out the Christians. Well, why should we be surprised? Because the policy of American, our central government, is the hatred of Christianity. That's why they took God and prayer out of our schools. And that is why the American military have put both Afghanistan and Iraq under Sharia law, and they've driven out all the Christians. There are no Christians in Pakistan. Less than 1% of the population of Iraq is still Christian. It used to be 10%. America is certainly violently anti-Christian. The average Christian in America doesn't know that, but God knows it. And I believe God is going to bring his judgment and vengeance upon America. And I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, and his justice will not sleep forever. Hey, those words are incidentally inscribed on the Jefferson Memorial, but, of course, we never talk about that sort of thing. Go ahead.
Well, if you noticed that for the first time ever, the president was had an invocation given by a non-minister. And the minister that had been chosen, Pastor Giulio, had been chosen, had given a sermon from the pulpit 20 years ago in which he quoted the Bible talking about homosexuality being a sin. And because he spoke from the Bible, he was not allowed by the leftists to give the invocation.
Well, let me tell you that God does not approve of homosexuality, and God is going to judge us because of homosexuality. And certainly there are a lot of wonderful homosexuals. I've known them. I've worked with them. But basically, God disapproves of homosexuality and what they do. And basically, of course, if we are promoting homosexuality in America at every aspect of our society, if we're teaching our kids in kindergarten, that is perfectly normal.
Some things were never meant to be cut.
Everybody takes God
That's why
the equation, Stephen. And I believe God will not be mocked. And I believe that probably his judgment is coming much sooner than later. Go ahead.
And, of course, what President Obama did by getting by taking off Pastor Giulio is saying, I support Christianity in this country fully, but only the Christianity that I want to have in this country. And as you may know, in England and some other countries, if you preach about homosexuality from the Bible, it is considered a hate crime and your church is closed. And governments are already closing churches around the world on the basis of being Bible-based churches rather than ideological churches.
Well, you know, really, it's rather tragic. Certainly, we have a number of ministers that listen to our program, and at least three of them I can think of have written to me and told because if they were preaching the truth from the pulpit, they were certainly there was an organized effort in their church, and they were asked to leave. We're talking about here in America where ministers tell the truth. And this happened to one of my ministers, a very close friend, some years ago, when he was telling the truth in the pulpit. And there was a man, I believe, who was planted in that church specifically to destroy a man who was telling the truth and preaching the gospel as it should be preached. Go ahead, Stephen.
And the big problem is that we now have a president that is working hard against religion, both in policy and in action. You have a president that is taking away religious freedom from Americans, trying to take away the right of self-protection from Americans.
Hold that thought for just a moment. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464 if you have a question or comment. Our guest, Stephen Frank, if you'd like, give us a call. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-295. And I tremble for my free country when I reflect that God is just. Go right ahead, Stephen.
And at the same time, he's trying to take away our rights of freedom, of privacy, and of action. While being president. And then, if that isn't enough, his policies of economic decay and disaster, his policies of deficit, are impoverishing the American people. So not only are we being impoverished vis-a-vis freedom, we're also economically being impoverished. We're turning into a nation of the very rich, the very poor, and, of course, the illegal alien. And we're turning into the classic banana republic because the rule of law no longer counts as long as the president can overrule Congress with an executive order. The rule of law no longer exists, so people know what the rules are to live by. When the president can, by executive order, basically repeal amendments to the Constitution. And so we as a people are now being impoverished emotionally and spiritually, but we're also being impoverished economically by a government that spends money where 47% of the American population pays no income taxes, so the other 53% have to pay for everybody. That hurts everybody's family, and it also hurts the self-esteem of those who are the takers rather than the makers. They have the feeling that they're entitled to being taken care of by government. Why shouldn't government provide me with housing and food and a cell phone and health care and education and a lot of other things free of charge? Why should I have to work to get this? And so since they get it, they don't work. Why should they? They can make more by not working than by working.
But the difficulty is, Stephen, that this is coming to an end. I don't know when it's coming to an end, but you cannot indefinitely spend 46 cents out of every dollar borrowing. You cannot continue borrowing indefinitely. Other countries are going to quit lending to us if the Federal Reserve System simply keeps printing money as they're doing at the present time, creating $1 trillion in new money every year. Sooner or later, this is going to become inflationary, and it's going to destroy the value of our currency. And there's no better way to destroy a nation than to destroy the value of its currency. And the average individual doesn't understand that. They don't understand that what is going on, they know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the public to know. I believe that the subversive element is working at the highest levels of our financial system, and their goal is the destruction of America. Destroy the currency, you destroy the nation.
And you know that we are the depository for numerous nations and foreign corporations for their gold. And in the last couple of weeks, a couple of nations and several firms have asked for their gold back. They don't want it to stay here in the United States. And I'm concerned that we obviously have nothing to back up our dollars. You're correct. We borrow a great deal so that we can then give it away. We're at a point where the national economy is in collapse, and the government lies to us as to the number of people who are unemployed. Because of Obamacare and because of the weak economy, and it is a weak economy, regardless of what Wall Street is doing, there's 14 to 15% unemployment in this country.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Our guest, of course, is Stephen Frank. And Stephen is simply pointing out that we're borrowing massive amounts of money from other countries and that they're lying to us about the unemployment rate. Basically, of course, our unemployment rate is not what they're telling us. They do not want the American people to know, basically. They talk about, 7.8%, 7.9% unemployment. But then, of course, you ask them, well, what's the U6 unemployment? Well, that's about 14.5%. Those are the people who are unemployed, underemployed, or simply have given up looking for work. But if you calculate this the way that they did 20 years ago, and certainly John Williams does this, you can read it at shoutouts.com, the real unemployment rate, the U6 unemployment rate, not doctored by liars and deceit, but of course it's about 22%. 22% of the American workers are unemployed, underemployed, or certainly have given up looking for work. And the fact that you're never going to hear this through regular channels simply reflects the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. Go right ahead, Stephen.
And just to put a punctuation on that, in the last 4 years, and I'll round off the numbers, 8 million people have left the workforce, 4 million of whom went on Social Security, retired, and that's understandable. But the other 4 million just left the workforce because there are no jobs for them. And we have, when President Bush left office, we had a participation rate in the employment market of approximately 67% of the American people. Under President Obama, January 1st, 2013, that percentage of participation rate was down to 63%. And we are losing people involved in actual work. And then you have another phenomenon that somebody brought to my attention this afternoon, and when I looked it up after my phone conversation, I realized the person was right. If you look, as I said before, we've become a nation of the very rich and the very poor, and somebody will say, well, yes, we do have a middle class. Well, a good deal of the middle class are actually government employees, unionized workers, who live off the very rich, who only exist because the rich pay taxes. And so you have a middle class made up of teachers and firefighters and cops and DMV workers and people in the planning department of your local government. It's government workers who are the middle class now, and most other people are either poor or they're rich. And it is such a horrible situation. As you may know, that in the last few days, there's a famous professional golfer by the name of Phil Mickelson, who lives in San Diego County, who earned $47 million last year. That's a good sum of money. And his accountant informed him that of that, approximately 63% went to government in the form of one type of tax or another. 63%. In other words, he is working almost two-thirds just for government and one-third for his family. And he's decided that he may leave California or he may even leave the United States. For instance, if he left the state of California to move to Texas, he would save 13% of his income tax. And that's because Texas doesn't have an income tax. And at his bracket, he'd be paying 13% of his income to the state of California.
On top, of course, his federal income tax.
On top of his federal income tax and his property tax and his sales tax and his excise tax and everything, his utility taxes, his automobile fees, which are really taxes, his gas tax when he gasses up his airplane and when he gasses up his cars. And so 63% goes to government, and he wants out of that. And today he apologized for going public with this, but he didn't apologize for his frustration that 63% of his income is going to government in one tax or another.
Well, I think we're going to see more and more of the wealthy people leaving California. I'm sure this is going to take place. And when it does, of course, this state is going to go bankrupt. We're already on the verge of bankruptcy. They're lying about the budget. Governor Brown got the people to vote for a $6 billion in tax increase. And you know how we did it? Why are we going to tax the rich? We're not going to tax you. We're just going to tax the people who make over, I don't know, a couple of $100,000 a year. We're going to put an extra 3% tax on them. And he got the people to go along with it without realizing when those people leave the state, why, of course, and they're going to, why, of course, there'll be less and less money for the things really needed.
While a storm cloud gathers far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair, as we raise our voices in a solemn prayer.
Go right ahead, Stephen.
Well, all of this leads to one fact, that the American public has been hoodwinked by Governor Brown, by President Obama, by the politicians running this country, most of which are Democrats, some of which are Republican, who vote for higher taxes. I mean, just a couple weeks ago, you had Congress pass a bill to tax the rich, and instead, 77% of Americans lost at least $1,000 a year, and they're not the rich people. More money is going to Social Security, which has its own problems than before. And now you have families earning $30,000 a year who have had a tax increase that will be upwards of $1,000 a year on their income. They can't afford that. But Congress and the Senate passed those bills. The president signed it. And another reason why we have the very rich and the very poor, and the middle class is made up of government workers, because that's where the money goes, to their salaries, and most of whom are union workers, and they wouldn't be allowed to hold their jobs if they didn't pay bribes to the unions. And that's another problem that American people have, that the government protects individuals who extort money from workers, and those are the unions. They extort money from the workers, then they extort money through blackmail to corporations by telling a corporation, you'll have no labor peace, we'll picket you, we'll harass you, we'll smear you, we will continue to fight you if you decide not to sign a sweetheart union contract with us. There's a hotel up your way, Dr. Stan, up in San Francisco, the famous Hyatt Hotel of San Francisco, where the union has claimed all sorts of terrible crimes committed by the Hyatt management against its workers. But, you know, if those folks didn't like it there, they wouldn't be working there.
Hold that thought, Stephen. We'll be back here in just a moment at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Stephen Frank, and we've been talking about the fact that the unions certainly are really a very powerful force in what's going on today. What most people don't know, though, that the heads of the labor unions, in my estimation, are working hand in glove with the employers. We've seen time and time again when they will actually call major strikes, just so that they, and of course, then the employee doesn't make any money at all, but of course, so that the producer, the manufacturer, can get rid of excess products. Certainly, if you've read the book Capitalism and Freedom by Milton Friedman, Capitalism and Freedom, he will tell you how John L. Lewis, head of the AFL-CIO, United Mine Workers, actually would keep calling strikes, and of course then the mine workers would be out of work, and then eventually end up getting a little increase in their salary. But he would always do this timed when the employers, when the mine owners, had an excess of coal. And basically, they want to get rid of the coal. So they had the people go out on strike. They didn't make any salaries. They got some money, probably unemployment benefits from the state. And that way, the coal manufacturers, people who own the mines, could unload their products. And they do this over and over again. Certainly, they've done this very effectively with the automotive industry. And if you are going into working with the automotive industry today, you're not getting the $60 or $70 that they got a few years ago, $60 or $70 an hour. You're probably going to be lucky to get $15 an hour. And the driving the salaries down in Michigan, Detroit, elsewhere, where they produce cars, so they will be competitive with the cars that are produced in the South, where the people are getting $15 an hour. And it's all basically because of the leaders of the unions, who, in my estimation, are working hand in glove with the employers, but they can't let you know, unless, of course, you look at the membership list of the Trilateral Commission, and you'll find out all the people who control the major corporations, and who else is a member of the Trilateral Commission, why the head of the AFL-CIO, but they can't let the common people know that. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-2295. Our guest is Stephen Frank. And Stephen, do you have a website, anything you'd like to get out?
Right. Every day I put out a free newsletter, and I have a website, California Political News and Views. And if your listeners would like a free subscription to the newsletter, they could just go to capoliticalnews.com, capoliticalnews.com. And on the right side of the front page, there's a area to put your email, and then just click submit. And the next day, you'll start getting the newsletter. And it's what the California Political News and Views does is report on stories that the mainstream media don't report on or misreport on, and I give an explanation of what the facts are. I have a really interesting one tomorrow, a story tomorrow. There's a bill in this California State Senate, SB 23, by Senator Lara, that would allow the state to spend upwards of $150 million to help people gain citizenship here in California. And so they want to use tax dollars to create programs and an agency to work with illegal aliens to give them citizenship and use tax dollars to do it, instead of using the tax dollars to arrest, detain, and deport the illegal aliens.
Well, we live in a world gone mad. There's only a few of us who are sane. Everybody thinks we're crazy. Go ahead. And to anyone, if you have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-2295. And probably within 10 minutes, the Hispanics will be a majority here in California. And basically, of course, this is part of a long-range plan. Understand that the whole the philosophy of the invisible government that really rules us, they want a multicultural, multilingual society, which is why if you call AT&T or PG&E, the first thing they say is, do you want your message in English or in Spanish? I went down, of course, to get my driver's license today, and everything is printed there in Spanish. Why, Cindy, why are we doing that? Why don't we say we want to be an American? Why you learn the English language? Well, very simply, because they don't want these people Americans. They want to be able to play the Spanish, Hispanic against the Anglos, the Spanish against the black against the white. It's all divide and conquer. These people are very, very evil and wicked people, but they know exactly what they're doing. And California is going to be the first Hispanic state in the Union. Go right ahead, Stephen.
Well, that's an interesting point about the DMV, Dr. Stan. You have all these signs in Spanish. They could take the test in Spanish, but I would challenge anybody listening to the show who drives here in California. I don't know about other states, but here in California, there are no stop signs or there are no warning signs. There are none of those electronic billboards that the Caltrans put on the freeways to tell you a problem's up ahead in any language other than English. So in effect, we're giving a driver's license to somebody that has not proven they could read the signs in English as they drive our streets. And that just makes the streets even more dangerous than they are. And that's the policy of the DMV, to give people who do not speak the English language a driver's license, even though all the signs and all the notices on the road are in English.
But they want a multilingual society. In fact, there are certain parts of the country where they say you want your message in English, in Spanish, or certainly in Arabic. And certainly there are certain communities back in Michigan where they'll say, or in Arabic. Go right ahead.
Well, in San Francisco, just to the north of where you are, they have 87 different languages. So if you were registered to vote in the city county of San Francisco, you would be able to get your ballot in one of 87 different languages.
Well, you know, it's very interesting. If you go down to Los Angeles, you stay in a hotel there, and you turn on television, you have a hard time finding a station where the program is in English. It'll be in Hispanic. It'll be all sorts of things. But very, very few stations down there I found certainly are English. Certainly there's some. But you have to understand that everything is changing. It's not happening by accident. It's happening by intent. The people who are really running things want this multicultural, multilingual society, but they're not telling the American people what's going on. They're simply going to bring it about, and one day we'll wake up to find that this is no longer the America that we knew and loved, because these people, this subversive element that controls both political parties, has an intense hatred of America and everything good and worthwhile and noble and righteous that it once stood for. Go ahead.
Well, and that's a major problem. We had been, the United States had been a melting pot where people can come from all over the world, and the language was a common language, and people bought it into the culture and traditions of our nation and the founding of our nation. Now, instead of people celebrating the 4th of July, they're celebrating Polish holidays and Mexican holidays and Kwanzaa and a whole bunch of other things that don't unite us, but divide us as a nation. And people divided are easily taken over, because if there's no commonality, if there's no relationship between people, and you keep people segregated by language and culture and tradition, then you keep people separated from working together to grow a country. And that's really the problem with the idea that government gives out ballots in numerous languages. That just troubles me, that you can get a driver's license not speaking English, even though all the signs and notices are in English in California.
Well, probably not much longer. In fact, it may very well be that you and I are going to have to learn how to speak Spanish, because they may very well ship them over to Spanish when America becomes the first Spanish-speaking state in the Union. Go ahead.
One of the more interesting towns in Southern California is a town called Monterey Park. Monterey Park at one time was a major Hispanic community. Now it is a major Chinese community. And in Monterey Park, in the east part of L.A. County, or just outside of downtown Los Angeles, but a separate city, a lot of the signs, even some traffic signs, are in Chinese. And so I try not driving in that town because I miss things because, unfortunately, Dr. Stan, I don't speak Chinese.
Well, you may have to. We may have to learn both Hispanic and Chinese. Let's go to Barbara, who's calling us from Santa Cruz. Hi, Barbara from Santa Cruz.
Thank you. I was just listening to Stephen, and, he talked about Kwanzaa. And, this started, I don't know how many years ago here, but, I lived in South Africa for several years, and I never heard of Kwanzaa.
Well, Kwanzaa was started in the 1960s in Los Angeles by a criminal who wanted to create a diversion. And literally, the guy was a criminal, and he created this diversion of this African styled holiday to replace specifically replace Christmas because of the enslavement of the black people. As they were brought over here, they're not Christians, they are Africans. And so he created this Kwanzaa. And the funny thing is, almost no one in the black community takes that seriously. The only people who take Kwanzaa seriously are the white liberal politicians who try to become friends with black people by thinking blacks are not Christians. And some of the greatest churches in Los Angeles are those black churches, Southern Baptist churches, AME churches, black churches in the inner city. These are some great churches, and they don't celebrate Kwanzaa. But this is just a political ploy by whites to make them seem like soul brothers.
Barbara, go ahead.
Oh, Stephen, thank you so much for saying that. The black people celebrated Christmas. They, there was a kind of a little bit of a conflict because most of them were Christians, but they still had this little bit of the medicine, the witchcraft, thing behind them, the medicine man. But a lot of them were Christians. Kwanzaa was nothing. It never existed in Africa when we were there.
It's a man-made. The gentleman's name was Ron Carenza, who started Kwanzaa.
Well, okay, anything else, Barbara?
I'm just so thankful, that Stephen put that out because, it is so important that people understand that this is.
But how do you start a religion? It's like Scientology. Here you have a man named Hubbard, Ron Hubbard, I think it was, that starts a Scientology, and he makes this whole religion up. And then we have Kwanzaa. They made the religion up. Where, of course, but the people are so gullible, they get taken into these things without understanding. Basically, those who rejected Christianity, it's not that they don't believe in anything, they believe in anything. In other words, that they actually have accepted totally fallacious religions that have simply been created by frauds. Go right ahead.
Well, Ron Karenga is the name of the man who started Kwanzaa, and he was a gangster here in the Los Angeles area. A lot of criminal background to him, and he decided he wanted something for black people because he didn't like Christianity. And so he created this phony holiday, and of course retail people said, oh good, we could sell more stuff. And white people said, well, black people want this, therefore we have to promote it. So you get all these resolutions celebrating and proclamations celebrating Kwanzaa, and the black people themselves are just laughing at us for this because they want to go to Christmas Eve services.
Well, I will say thank God that so many black people are Christians. In fact, it was so interesting on last Sunday before the football game there where the 49ers were playing Atlanta. Why, of course, they would zoom in when they were actually singing the national anthem. But they zoomed in on at least one of the 49ers. It was obvious he wasn't singing the national anthem. He was praying. It was so obvious he was praying. And really, of course, the good thing I can say is that the vast majority of the blacks in America are Christians, and they're probably a lot better Christians than a lot of the whites. Go right ahead.
Well, I would agree with that. They understand the troubles, and they also understand the need for faith. And they do have great and deep faith in their Christian values, and that's a good thing. My concern are those who, white or black, who have no values and no faith. They have no reason to be moral and honest other than if they get caught, they go to jail. There's more to life than that, and there's more to faith than that. People don't steal who are Christians because it's against the law. They don't steal because it's against the commandments. And that's a higher law than the ones made in Sacramento or Washington, D.C.
Amen. Of course, one reason why, of course, we have so much trouble, problems with the black community and crime is because, of course, water fluoridation. If you've never read Dr. Roger Masters' work, he's a sociologist from Dartmouth. And basically, he studied water fluoridation using hydroflow salicylic acid. I summarized the largest study ever done in any nation at any time. 450,000 children they did finger sticks on. They checked the level of the blood, of the lead in the blood of children who were in communities where they fluoridated the water with hydroflow salicylic acid, and checked it with the communities where they did not fluoridate the water. What they found out is that if whites in those areas where they fluoridated the water with hydroflow salicylic acid, the level of the lead went up, doubled. In Hispanics, it went up 4 times. In blacks, it went up 6 times. Why is that important? Why? Because, of course, they get a lead type of encephalopathy. And you will find a direct relationship between that encephalopathy and criminal activity, which is why one in every three young black men between 21 and 31 is in prison, probation, or parole today. They know exactly what they're doing. They have an intense hatred of the blacks. And because we put this information out, many times to black leaders, and Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton and the other black leaders don't want to know. They're intentionally poisoning the black population, and they know what they're doing. It's for some reason or other, they get a much higher level of lead in their blood when they fluoridate the water, and that's one reason to fluoridate the water, to destroy the black population. Stephen, go right ahead.
Well, and you know, it's interesting to talk about destroying the black population. There's a famous quote from Jesse Jackson, who has now backed away from it. And since today is January 22nd, 40 years from the day of infamy, Jesse Jackson once said that abortion is genocide of the black race.
Well, it really is. I mean, that's why they put so many abortion mills there in the black community.
And
they
of course,
really wanted
Margaret Sanger, who founded Planned Parenthood, believed in abortion because she didn't like blacks and she didn't like minorities and wanted to use it as a policy to end the black race. And so Margaret Sanger, Planned Parenthood was founded on the premise that they had to get rid of the black race. But again, remember, these are white liberals who really don't get it, and they really don't like minorities, but they pretend to because they like the votes. And so they give them freebies while supporting policies like abortion that kill them off.
Not only that, but of course, if you know anything about the AIDS epidemic, you'll know that AIDS is not simply a disease that just occurred for no reason at all. It was genetically created, and basically one of the people who was involved in that actually was dying of cancer, came forward, told the whole story, and of course, you'll see, hear it, you can read it in a book called Full Disclosure by Dr. Gary Glum, who writes the story. You can buy those books on Amazon. I think they're about $88 last time I checked. They've destroyed most of them. The last thing that they want is the public to know that they created the AIDS virus. Why? Because it's specifically designed to kill the blacks. If you go in America today, why, of course, almost half of all the people who've died or who have HIV disease or AIDS in America today are black. And yet they only make up 13% of the population. You go into Africa, you go certainly into places like Botswana, 46 to 47% of all the pregnant black women are HIV and positive. They're all going to die, ladies and gentlemen. The greatest public health tragedy of all time, or the most successful genocidal policy, and the fact that nobody wants to talk about that, is simply a reflection of the degree of control of what the American people think. The book, full disclosure, the author, Gary Glum, but you're never going to hear this discussed on most television and most radio programs, because the last thing that they want is for the black people in this country to understand that they've been targeted by the what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness. For destruction, we'll be back here in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, Stephen, we're just about out of time. Do you have a parting thought before we let you go?
Well, I'd like to be positive in all this. At the end of the day, we have the ability as activists and as people of faith to make the changes necessary. We can read the papers and watch TV, listen to radio, and say, boy, things are terrible, and they are, but that doesn't mean they have to stay that way. But it can only change if everybody who is listening to this not merely says, yes, I want it to change, but participates in the change.
And I think you're absolutely right. We're going to have to let you go because we're out of time, but you've got to get involved, ladies and gentlemen. You've got to get informed. You've got to get involved, and there are a million things you can do. I'll get Stephen back sometime real soon to talk about what people can do. Is that agreeable with you?
Absolutely. Would love to do it.
God bless. Okay, that was Stephen Frank, certainly one of our favorite guests, and he's been at this as long as I have, and there are not very many people around who are still active on the front lines of the battle. Well, this is the time when I have to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. And if you're in a position to help us financially, we'd sure love to hear from you. You can join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, or you can donate, or you can buy our products. Well, but, of course, if you're not in a position to help us financially, then we ask you to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And we also mentioned, if you'd like to get a case of our book, Brotherhood of Darkness, it will give you a very effective weapon that you can utilize. You can get them for less than $2.40 each. If you buy a case, that's 64 of them. And so give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. And we're doing fairly well. We've got well over a quarter of the cases of books sold. And as soon as we get the commitments on it, we'll go ahead and get the book printed up. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. We hope you go to our website. You can listen to our radio programs there. Certainly 24 hours a day on the Internet. If you have an iPad, iPhone, if you have a cell phone, you can listen to our afternoon programs. But go to our website, radioliberty.com, listen to our programs, watch our DVDs, read our newsletters going back a good long while, and certainly back to the mid-1990s. And basically, they cover many, many subjects. We put many of these newsletters into little pamphlets, whether it be the history of money, whether it would be going into the background, certainly of the phony elections that we've had. But certainly, there's a list of all of the pamphlets we have. Certainly in our webpage at radioliberty.com. If you'd like a catalog, we'll be glad to get you one. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Let me suggest you get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and you read it. Let me suggest you hear my talk on the Agenda 21, the covert plan, Agenda 21, the covert plan. And then we have, of course, population control, the covert agenda. If you'd like to know how they killed Martin Luther King, we have a 4-CD set on the murder of Martin Luther King, plus a book written by the author, by the attorney who was hired by Martin Luther King's family to bring out the fact that he was not killed by James Earl Ray. This was all a lie. And it's just as Bobby Kennedy wasn't killed by Saran Saran. And basically, of course, we have a 4-CD set on the murder of Bobby Kennedy, a book, and a DVD on the murder of Bobby Kennedy. Actually, we have 2 DVDs on the murder of Bobby Kennedy. And then, of course, we have certainly a 4-CD set on the USS Liberty. The effort to kill all those 250 American sailors and naval personnel, they wanted to get them all killed so we could go to war with Egypt. And but of course the Israeli flyers refused to drop their bombs on the ship, so it survived. But you can hear the people tell the story of what happened. The 4-CD set on the USS Liberty. We also have a book and 2 DVDs on it. Please, our number 1-800-548-9927. But they killed, they wanted to kill them all, ladies and gentlemen.
Let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our
welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. It is 22 January. You're in the right place. That is, if you're a student, student of the present, wanting to look at history as it really was and challenge the future as they want it to be. It's all about us. It really is. It's about us not being impotent. It's about us being strong, focused, and saying no. You watched the inauguration yesterday, if you did. I admire you if you could look at that. I couldn't. It was almost like blasphemy. It was pomp and circumstance at its best. There are people that are saying between $100 and $200 million were spent on what? What did we get from that yesterday? What was the objective by doing that yesterday? That's always the question I look at, is what is the objective?